T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get you an update on this Jim Boeheim story as well. Syracuse.com updating their story we've been talking about over the last half hour or so. Men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim at Syracuse struck and killed a man walking outside of a vehicle on an interstate around midnight last night. A man in his 30s had been in a car with four others. Vehicle crashed for unknown reasons. Man at some point got out of his vehicle, and that's when Boeheim drove by and struck the pedestrian, according to sources. The newspaper reports Boeheim was given a routine blood alcohol content test and had no alcohol in his system.
Good.
Zero BAC.
Thank
he was
God.
Interviewed by police and released. Friends and family tell Syracuse.com Boeheim does not drink alcohol. Boeheim says he will issue a statement shortly. Accident happened on an interstate in Syracuse, and apparently there have been reports of icy conditions on the roadways. They weren't sure if that contributed to this accident or not. But a pedestrian struck and killed apparently a vehicle driven by Jim Boeheim last night following Syracuse game against Louisville in Syracuse last night.
Yeah, big win for Syracuse, too, last night by 20 points. And I'm so glad that you said there was no alcohol in Boeheim's system, because, you know, you have a big win like that. Maybe you have a glass of wine at the office or something before you go home and you're looking at some film or whatnot, and you're just trying to unwind a little bit. So thank goodness there was no alcohol in his system, which is a big sigh of relief, because now it's obviously just an accident. And you mentioned with the ice being involved, you know, last night as well, that's very scary. I mean, you get out there on that ice, and we know from living in this winter wonderland now that we've had over the last couple of weeks, you could lose it fast on ice. And you know, we've all been in driving conditions that aren't subpar, or subpar, I should say. And you know what it's like trying to recorrect that car once you hit that patch of ice. So, I mean, hopefully it was something that was totally out of Boeheim's control. And I pray for the family, obviously, who lost their loved one. But I just don't know if you're Jim Boeheim, how you move on, you know, as a person after doing something like that. It's got to be something very, very tough to bounce back from for your everyday life, you know?
So we'll keep you updated on the story as more information develops. But that's the latest on the accident involving Jim Boeheim. We know what happens, but if you say it, is it a smart thing to tell your team? But I like what's happening in Pittsburgh. I like the devolution of the Steelers at this point in time.
The devolution?
Yeah, devolution.
I like the way you said that.
The unevolution. The unevolution.
Getting rid of the divas, though, the way you said it.
Well, there is
devolution.
That too.
Was that intentional?
I don't think it was.
You've anointed someone in your locker room, and I would be curious to see how this spills off in others. We've already seen, obviously, Le'Veon Bell's not going to be back. Antonio Brown is probably going to be traded.
And then he tweets out, free at last, thank God almighty, I'm free at last. That's very tasteless, I think, Le'Veon Bell.
That's what you sign up for. It was the franchise tag and all those things. You chose not to be under the franchise tag. So
right.
I guess you are free at
Whatever. But to have that tweet in those words is very tasteless. Very, very, very important.
All right. The GM, though, of the Pittsburgh Steelers, his name is Kevin Colbert. He called Ben Roethlisberger the unquestioned leader of the locker room. Okay? It's quarterback. Makes a little sense. Who has the freedom to publicly criticize teammates if he sees fit.
Yeah.
Quote, he's the elder statesman and a Super Bowl winner, Colbert told the group of local reporters Wednesday. If our players were smart, they'd listen to him because he's been there. He's done that.
Okay.
He can tell them, no, guys, what you're doing is or is not good enough to do this. Brown, of course, Antonio Brown, had tweeted out that Roethlisberger has, quote, an owner mentality. You remember that earlier?
Hell yeah. Yep.
Because of his willingness to call out players and coaches. But apparently he's been given the green light
by the GM. I honestly believe that can be a burden on him more often than he may like to admit, because he's got 52 kids under him, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only Steeler left from the Super Bowl team. I want them to step up and say, hey, Ben, what do I have to do? Can I do this better? What do we have to do to win a Super Bowl? I think that once you win it, you got 53 guys who can say what it took. Right now, he's the only one. So I have no problem with him. He can call me out, and that's fine. What he does, I totally respect, because I've seen him too many times win games for us and come through in situations. All of which can be true. But essentially, you're telling your team what they already knew. The quarterback's more important than you.
Yeah. You're drawing a line inside that locker room, which, in my opinion,
he's our favorite child, and we're telling you straight
up. We're straight up telling you that, and that's going to cause divisiveness. It would for me. You know, just think about your place of business. If the boss came in and said, you know what?
He can do no wrong. Listen to him.
Listen to everything he says, and if you do something wrong, he has permission to call you out and to report you to us. First of all, you'd look at that guy as a snitch and be like, screw you. Second of all, you'd resent your boss. Third of all, you definitely would want out if you were working in a situation like that. So maybe now we can see why Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell wanted out of that situation, because no matter what they did, maybe they believed it never was going to be good enough, because here's Ben Roethlisberger out there calling them out. And I understand the quarterback has a little bit more room, a little bit more of an ability to go out there and be the guy who can voice his opinion. But it's much like we talked about with Trevor Bauer yesterday. We know guys that play professional sports like women. We get that. We don't need to hear an athlete come out and say, I'm not going to commit to you, and I just want to have, you know, relations with you. I don't want to have anything else. We don't need to hear those guys come out and say that. We also don't need to hear the general manager of a football team come out and say that Ben Roethlisberger has permission to publicly criticize you. As a Chiefs fan, I love it, because that's one of our biggest rivals, right? That's the team that we have to knock off year in and year out, Pittsburgh Steelers. If I'm a Steelers fan today, though, I'm livid, because you just drew a line down the middle of the locker room, and that's not good for business and forming a team to try to go out there and win.
Yeah, he's our favorite. He can say whatever he wants. You guys should probably fall in line. He's the only one that's been here since the Super Bowl.
Right. You can't do that when you're trying to foster a team mentality.
If you're in that locker room, you know Ben Roethlisberger carries the weight.
Right. You know it. They're fine. Right. Whatever. He's the
quarterback. You understand it. You've believed it, but now they've just overtly told you.
Right. And it's okay for him to come out and criticize you.
He's really the only one that can do it. He's the only one that's been here. Until the rest of you guys do it, you can't say a thing.
Right.
There's nobody to check Ben Roethlisberger. Right?
Right.
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, gone. Other strong figures, gone.
Right.
So, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it from an outside perspective.
From a Chiefs fan standpoint,
it's great. Just tell everybody that's your favorite kid. The rest of you,
you all suck. 52 other dudes are going, wait a second here.
Get in line. You're behind him.
We get the quarterback leads the way, but we all have a part in this. I don't think we need to hear the general manager saying this guy's got free reign to go call us all out. I'm not into that. As a Chiefs fan, I am. As a Steelers fan, I don't think so.
As a GM, I wouldn't say that. He's almost acknowledging he's got more power than I do, too.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, I didn't know Kevin Colbert's name till yesterday. So
correct.
That was already maybe part of the deal.
Much like we didn't know Tom Crean coached the Georgia.
Learned a lot of things today. He's cleaned out his locker. Should they go get him? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Love the drama of any offseason, sometimes more so than the seasons. The NFL offseason is fantastic. Year-round football is a thing, and I'm not talking about the AAF. It's just the NFL's ongoing stuff. Yesterday was Landon Collins.
Arizona Hotshots, 2-0, babe.
Landon Collins, the safety for the Giants, who is entering free agency. Giants considering using the franchise tag on him. Yesterday, according to an ESPN report, stated Collins was cleaning out his locker, saying his goodbyes to teammates, coaches, and trainers. The New York Post then went to report Collins Lochner, in fact, was not cleaned out fully.
There was still like athletic tape or something.
Collins,
so we have debate.
Then went
saying.
To Twitter to say, "The stuff in that locker that I have left, I do not need," with a 100 emoji. The truth somewhere in between. Apparently, it was
you
on the premises.
Use the 100 emoji?
I have not.
Once or twice, I've used it.
Is it definitive? Is that the definitive statement ender?
I'm keeping it 100.
Yeah, keeping it real.
It's the definitive, but that means it's real.
Keeping it real.
100.
That you don't need to say anything further. That ends it, right? That's it. If it has that on
stamp
there,
stamp
it's guaranteed.
The debate is over.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
We have no more debate.
Collins was there rehabbing his surgically repaired left shoulder. Has said before he doesn't want to play under the franchise tag, but realizes that that could be a thing. Not uncommon for players to clean out their lockers, right, of personal items. It sounds like he took the personal items, probably left some team stuff there.
Sure.
Took all the personal stuff out of his locker. He doesn't know when or if he's going to be back.
Right.
Took some athletic tape from the training room.
Yeah, you steal some things. You know, when you're leaving, you grab a handful of pens. And
some of those small water bottles.
Yeah,
you
couldn't do that for a while at the Chiefs.
Right. That's true with the Chiefs.
You had to leave those pens.
I still want to get one of those smoothies from the practice facility locker room. They look delicious.
Sure, you can have one on your way out if you're a player.
Yeah, sure.
I'm never going to be a Chiefs player.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do.
So there was a lot made about, did he clean out his locker? What is he saying? Does this mean he's done? Means nothing. But it's an interesting NFL off-season story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Giants could franchise tag him, mm-hmm. which would require a team to then give up two first-round picks, usually a price tag too high for everybody, right? This was a guy that reportedly was available around the trade deadline that I know you had wanted, Fesco.
Yeah.
And now could be available, could be a guy that's cut, although it doesn't appear it's likely. Like, give up a couple first-round picks and still get him?
Well, to me, he's even a better fit today than he was during the trade deadline. During the trade deadline, he would have been a very nice fit for this team at the safety position. But now, with Steve Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator, he's an even bigger fit for the Kansas City Chiefs because he knows the system that Spags is going to run. Kansas City needs at least two safeties, and Landon Collins is an all-pro safety. So if he does reach free agency and they don't franchise him, he would be a number one target for me for a couple of reasons. He makes your position group better. You can finally rely on somebody to play that position. He's only 25 years old, and he knows the system that Steve Spagnuolo is going to be running. And bringing in a new defensive coordinator, especially Spagnuolo, there will be growing pains with this defense. I continue to stress that because I don't want to hear in week two of the season that this defense sucks and it's no better with Steve Spagnuolo. There's going to be growing pains with this defense. But on a team that is ready to win the Super Bowl, you want to minimize those growing pains as much as you possibly can. So you want to have players on that defense that are good football players, but also understand the system and understand what they have to do, play in and play out. And I think Landon Collins is the perfect guy to come in, especially at that safety position, because he knows the defense and he can kind of be a coach on the field, be an extension of the coaching staff as a player that's a great football player that can help the Kansas City Chiefs. And even if the Kansas City Chiefs go ahead and franchise Landon Collins, or the Giants franchise Landon Collins, I would still give up two first-round draft picks for Landon Collins because he makes you better than somebody who's drafted at 29, 30, 31, or 32, like we're probably going to see for the next couple of years with the Chiefs. You're going to have more success and a better opportunity to get and win a Super Bowl with Landon Collins than either guy you will draft in the first round the next 2 years, because the expectation is you're going to be good enough where you're drafting in the late 20s or early 30s as long as Andy Reid is the head football coach here in Kansas City. So to me, Landon Collins is more valuable than those draft picks, and I would give up those draft picks in a heartbeat to get Landon Collins because I think he helps your team now. This is a Super Bowl-ready team, a team that is ready to win the Super Bowl right now. What held them back was defense. They did a great job of changing the coordinator and all of the coaches on the defensive side, but they still need to change players. They have no safeties on their roster right now that you can truly rely on. It looks like they're probably going to cut Sorensen. I wouldn't. I think he's a good football player, but he was injured for half of last year. Nobody knows what's going on with Eric Berry. You can't rely on him. Armani Watts, I don't know anything about that guy. I'm not relying on him. What I would rely on, though, is Landon Collins. And to me, he's worth this year's first-round pick at number 29 and next year's first-round pick probably in the late 20s, early 30s as well, and will give you the best opportunity to capitalize and to win a Super Bowl and to put your defense in the best position to succeed because he's a guy that knows the system and can help everybody else learn the system on the field.
You make a great case.
Thank you.
I mean, because a lot of times I'm not beholden to draft picks.
Right.
But when you're talking about stockpiling young, cheap talent, this is the time they need to be doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, you're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes. We all know that. So how do you supplement around him? Young, cheap, hopefully talented
right.
players that you draft.
And you still really have one more year where you don't have to worry about that.
So in a season, last year he did have a first-round pick. Moving forward the next two seasons without a first-round pick, eye on the surface go, whoa, wait a minute. What I like about Landon Collins, he's 25.
Right. That's a game changer.
He's not 30.
Yeah.
It's not a 30-year-old safety you're going for. It's a 25-year-old safety
mm-hmm.
that you're you would be going for. And the price tag's high. That's why teams don't do it.
Right.
Teams don't do this because the price tag is high. But, yeah, if you step back and said, who's going to help you more next season? Do you think it's going to be Landon Collins or whoever you draft at 29?
It's going to be Landon Collins.
And then couple that with then the next 2 years,
mm-hmm.
who's going to give you more? Landon Collins or two first-round picks? That one, the second one you go, this one I can say definitively. First one, yes. I think it'll be more of an impact in year one than the 29th pick of the draft.
Sure, yeah.
But if I have two of those guys, that's when I pause and go, well, maybe. And your lifeline of building your franchise is through the draft.
It is. But again, look at some of the great players that are on this team. Kelsey's a third-round pick. Tyreek Hill's a fifth-round pick. Kareem Hunt was a third-round pick.
They still need to do those types of things, too. Absolutely. They need to hit on those.
You know, Chris Jones is a second-round pick. So, to me, I look at Patrick Mahomes and Landon Collins. MVP, all-pro safety. Those are your last two first-round draft picks. You're in really good shape. Because you're just not going to find anybody better that can touch the MVP and an all-pro at a position that is a desperate need here in Kansas City.
You're going to have to do a long-term contract, too.
With both.
You're going to have assurances he's going to sign, too, long-term.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. And I would imagine he would. I mean, he's going to a system and a coach that he likes and played well in.
Hey,
made him all pro.
I just
money,
think to myself
talks
about
and you're going to have to double his salary.
I just think when
his current salary.
When I think about two draft picks, especially two first round draft picks, you were talking about guys that you have a fifth year option on. You're talking about guys that you could have on your team for 5 years, and you're right. Like, you don't know the long term future for Landon Collins. Like, will you be able to re-sign him? Will you be able to actually keep
him in house?
Well,
I think you only make that trade if you can work out the deal ahead of time. You know, those are one of those deals that you
work
out the trade.
Like, to me, though, I value that draft equity more because of the fact that if you have two first-round draft picks, and I know it's not a 50-50 proposition, but I feel like the Chiefs over the last 6-7 years, at least since 2010, have had first-round draft picks that have panned out for them.
But you have Dorsey and Ballard that are both gone now.
I understand that, but I think maybe I have a little more faith in Brett Veach's drafting ability than you do. And I
wasn't wowed by that first draft that he had.
I don't really think he had a lot. He wasn't working with a lot either. Now, there were players that he had targeted that he felt filled needs and he wanted to go after them,
sure.
Like Breland Speaks, like Armani Watts. So he's been the guy that's been there and scouted good players and been, you know, beating the desk of Andy Reid and saying, hey, these are the guys that we need to go get. So I probably have a little more faith in him and the draft process with Brett Veach than you do. I mean, clearly I do.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's...
Well, it's not Brett Veach. It's just the whole draft process, Ryan. I think the draft is just such a crapshoot. And I've got a guy that's a proven player for a team that's ready to win the Super Bowl. I'm ready to make that move. If this is 5 years ago and this is a young team and a new regime... Probably not.
Right. I don't doubt that, but I'm just saying, like, if I take what I would assume around a 50-50 proposition because of who's drafting with Brett Veach, like, I think you will get, over the next 2 years, one player that makes a significant impact in the first round. Couple that with the fact that you're going to get him on the cheap for 5 years, like, I just don't know if I'm willing to give up two players that would be cheap that could both have significant impacts for one guy that you could get 2 years out of.
Right.
And may or may not be the thing that puts you over the top.
But I know that Landon Collins will come in here and be an immediate difference maker. I don't know who they're going to draft at 29. I don't know who they're going to draft at 30 the next year. I don't know if they're going to be immediate impact players. You've got a team right now that has that window that is open. You want to capitalize. You don't want to be looking back and go, man, what if we had just done that and got Landon Collins and he could have been you don't want the what ifs to be out there right now. And I feel like there could be some what ifs if we don't fix the talent on the defensive side.
I don't want to go out and give up too much because we might have FOMO though. Like I'm not to that point where I believe that Landon Collins is the difference maker that's going to put you over the top. But I do think that number one, when I listen to Binkley talk about the draft and the depth of defense on this draft, like I think you could find somebody out there. I think there are players that can supplement into this defense right now. And I think that Spagnuolo takes this defense to a different level than we've seen from Bob Sutton. Like I probably have more faith in the defense turning around, Spagnuolo making a difference, and Brett Veach drafting than you do. And that's why I put more.
No, I have a lot of faith in Spagnuolo, but I know it also takes players because I don't believe in a lot of these players. Like, I'm tired of the Eric Berry game. If I never have to mention his name in relation to football again, I'm okay with that.
See, I just again,
you guys want to hold out like, ooh, this Eric Berry, like it's like Santa Claus.
It's not Eric Berry to me. I mean, I would say that you have Armani Watts, which is still a relative unknown, but I've the Eric Berry ship has sailed for me.
Insofar as
like he's going to be the impact difference maker. But you're talking about trading two first round picks for a safety, not a quarterback.
I understand.
A safety.
But an all pro safety who can be the quarterback of your defense and learning a new system, especially the Spag system. Look, growing up a Giants fan, I know what the Spag system is like. It is a hard system to learn, and it's not an easy thing for guys to grasp. There will be growing pains. I'm all about bringing guys in that can make those growing pains less.
Somebody asking the question, you're giving up two first-round picks for a guy that's a free agent this year. The Giants may or may not franchise tag the
right guy.
That was the impetus of the conversation.
Right.
So if they do franchise tag him and he's not available in free agency, would you do that? Bob, clearly.
I would.
Clearly would.
Yep.
Time for another edition of Beers of the Boys. We chat a little Sweetwater next.
Fesco in the morning.
Time now for another edition of Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Sweetwater Brewing Company. We're going to discuss today with Ashley Anderson and Monica Nauser of Sweetwater Brewing. And there are some beers in studio with us today, Ashley and Monica. There's a definite theme. I see two bottles with 420s on them and another one that says hash.
Yeah, we hear that your studio smells really good this morning.
It might. It might.
We're ready to pop these things open. So what's the theme you guys are going for here with this?
Well, the major theme that we have at Sweetwater Brewing is damn good beer. So that's at the base of everything we have. It's good quality, pretty IPA heavy. However, we have some nice lighter versions coming out this spring and summer. But the one that you think you're probably talking about the most is part of our 420 strain series that we released last summer. And the one you have in studio right now is G13. Are either of you guys familiar with what G13 is?
No.
Well, G13 is allegedly the line of cannabis that the government had come out with back in the day. So you can see references to it in movies like American Beauty, Pineapple Express. So kind of a cool thing that our brewers did, they went into this cannabis strain and figured out all the terpenes that made up that smell. And terpenes, if you don't know what a terpene is the DNA of all plant matter. But then they took a next step and found those similar terpenes in hops and then used those hops to get that nice aroma.
So there is a definite smell.
That is good.
It is terrific.
I mean,
smell like a fresh bag of grass.
It does. The smell is fantastic on
that.
We're
looking for marijuana.
It is. And then you go one step further, and then you're going to taste it, and the taste is awesome. It's a hazy IPA.
Wow.
Nice and cloudy, super full-bodied, but it's easy on the palate. It's not going to burn your tongue off, and you're going to leave you wanting a few more.
So you guys are new to the Kansas City area. Like, you're just coming out in Kansas City for the first time, correct?
Yep, this week. Yeah, we launch officially next week in the market. So
you've got a couple of beers that we're trying right now, the G13 IPA, which is delightful. Are you guys like hiding in the, no pun intended, the weeds, waiting for legalization?
Pun intended.
Like just kind of like lying in the weeds, waiting for full legalization across the United States, and you've got some really great beers that are going to come out after that happens too?
I mean, I think we're with everyone waiting for that all to happen. And
right.
You never know what's going to, you know, you never know what our Brewers have up their sleeves. The time will tell. But, yeah, I mean, we've been a huge proponent of marijuana from the get-go. We just celebrated our 22nd anniversary last year, or last weekend, excuse me. And we're located down in Atlanta. So 420 was our flagship beer that I think you guys have in studio
yep.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's our pale ale. Kansas, may I note, is our 25th state that we are in with Sweetwater. And we've had the bragging right of being the second most poured pale ale with our 420 since we're in 10 states. So it's a very awesome beer. For those listeners that fly around the world, we are on all Delta Airlines flights with our 420 pale ale.
Oh, that's pretty cool as well. So you got to deal with that's the new thing that I'm seeing now as I've been traveling a little bit lately is like these airlines that are kind of, I don't want to say regional airlines, obviously Delta's not, but where they're based, they're bringing on these regional beers and they're giving like customers a great in-flight experience. Now you're not just getting the, you know, the standard crushable beers. There's actually great offerings that are on the planes now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously craft is the craze that's been happening for the last 5-10 years. And luckily for us, it was a very organic conversation down in Atlanta that opened the doors to getting us on those Delta Airlines flights, which actually brought us international 2 years ago. So you can find us all the way over in Amsterdam and Vietnam and many more.
Well, it's great because you guys are obviously new to the area, but the Atlanta market, Georgia as a state, isn't one of the leaders in the cannabis industry, I would say. It's not like it's a
right.
Colorado or a California. How has your marketing, your ideas, your creations got over in states? Because here in Kansas, we've been told by leaders.
Say, congratulations getting into Kansas.
I mean, like we had a senator on a year ago who told us we'll be the 51st state to legalize marijuana, you know, in the United
wow.
States. So how have you been accepted by a lot of these places that may not be hip to the legalization of marijuana?
Well, I think, you know, for so long, this was such a counterculture of marijuana, and now it's just mainstream culture. You see stuff like CBD oils and that type of thing. And just so that you and all your listeners know, there is no THC in any of our beers. You will be able to pass a drug test. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, we're definitely a pioneer into this. Well, again, was the counterculture, and now you're seeing it all over the place.
All right, tell us about the 420. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, along with those 420 strains that I was talking about, we're going to have a couple more around the corner. The next we're coming out with is a Mango Kush, which is also
going to
have that very heady cannabis smell, but it's going to be a mango wheat beer.
Ooh.
So a little bit lighter, less than 5% ABV, a bit more crushable, and for those that aren't really onto the hot craze yet, a little bit more palatable. So, again, I mean, our biggest leap is getting over, you know, naming these beers because there's so many, you know, tape and, you know, gatekeepers that we need to get past with our names. But
right.
If the government allows it, I think the drinkers will embrace it.
What's the third one we have, Jess?
The Hop Hash Easy IPA.
Yeah. So that is my fave. It is comes in at 4.20% ABV. So that's
Wow,
that's
awesome.
A lot of work.
Yeah, you guys put a lot of work and time into this stuff, you know?
I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah,
but
it's our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And the cool thing with the hop hash is we're one of three breweries that are doing this. So when our brewers went to the hop farm, they got all these, looked at all the hops going through. And if you know what they do with hops, they pelletize them, almost like through a cheese grater, if you
right.
think about that way. And they said, well, what are you doing with all that stuff on the top of the grate, the key for the hash, if you will? And they said, well, we'll sell it to you. So it takes 50 pounds of hop to get 1 pound of hop hash. And we dry hop the hop hash with that. So you're going to get a really strong, aromatic, heavy taste on the palate, but you're going to be able to crush it like a domestic lager because it's so low in ABV. And that comes in a 15-pack at a really good price as well.
A 15-pack. I like that, too. So that's your
yeah.
crushable version of the beer. They're only available in Kansas right now, right? They're not on the Missouri side?
We are in parts of Missouri. So you can find us in St. Louis, down by Lake Ozarks, Springfield, and a few more areas.
And tell us about the 420 Festival. We got to hear about this.
Oh, absolutely. Before I tell you about 420 Fest, I just want to pipe in, too. We have one more seasonal that's just coming out next week for the whole market, and that's
okay.
called Peach, Love, and Happiness. Mm. So if you can get that reference from one of the great guitarists, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
We wanted to pay homage to the great state of Atlanta, so we added some peach into a Berliner Weiss. It's going to be a little tart, a little sour, a little sweet, and a little awesome. So keep an eye out for that one, too. And yet, 425, it is our Super Bowl. It happens every year down in Atlanta over Earth Day weekend, which is also April 20th. Mm-hmm. We have a three-day music festival that brings in about 80,000 people into the gates down in Piedmont Park. And we have bands that are headlining this year, like the Avid Brothers and Widespread Panic. So it's sure to impress anyone that comes and really get to know our beers. Last year, we did almost 750 kegs just that three-day weekend of all of our beers.
Let me ask you this totally off the subject. Is Georgia leading the way to get legalization down there? For you guys, I hope yes.
I mean, I hope so, yes. We've seen a few things on the ballot, but nothing set in stone, you know, right now. But, I mean, I think all over in the next, you know, 10 years, you're going to see it pop up in more states, especially for the medicinal use, beyond having a, you know, fun recreational aspect, perhaps for some. Mm-hmm. There is really great studies out there that it helps people.
No question. And your beer is delicious, let me tell you.
Thank you.
I like it a lot. That G13 IPA.
And it smells decent, too.
I'm getting excited about that beer.
The greatest thing from, you know, me and Monica's aspect is that it's a beer that sells itself. When people are pouring that on draft, everyone's eyes perk up and noses open, and they want to drink what their neighbor's having. So it is a great, awesome beer. We've had, you know, a lot of accolades in Men's Journal, Bloomberg. We were in the top 11 beers for 2018. The New York Times featured us in an article. So it's not only a great beer, but it's got great press behind it as well.
I've had two since we've been having this conversation.
So. Well, hey, make sure you don't drink and drive. Please always be responsible.
Ashley, Monica, thanks for the time this morning.
Hey, thank you, guys.
And next time you come to town, don't bring the snow, and we'll get you in studio.
You got it. And please live by our motto and don't float the mainstream.
Oh, this place is fantastic. Sweetwater Brewing Company.
I'm in. They're my new faves.
I mean, they're not even hiding it. It's awesome.
The smell of that G13. Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah. It's got the 420 strain.
Smells like Colorado.
Yes, yeah, yes, it. Yes,
we're
it does.
We're gonna have to explain this to Spec when he gets it.
Sweetwater Brewing, based in Atlanta, they're now into the Kansas City market and the Kansas side and parts of Missouri, not necessarily Kansas City just yet,
right?
But other parts of the state of Missouri. But how they got into Kansas is amazing to me.
I do like the
right
top.
Weed is helping out quite a bit.
I do like the text line. They should sell them in 10 packs and call them dime bags.
Quite possibly.
That's terrific. I'm going to.
Another edition of Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Sweetwater Brewing Company. Our thanks to Ashley and Monica for joining us today. It's a segment after Beers of the Boys.
It's the most we've ever gotten text-wise during that segment
and
ever.
The segment after Beers of the Boys with a 420 twist. Who knows what's coming next?
Weed.
Fesco in the morning.
I don't have to take any CBD for the sciatic nerve today.
This is the first time Bob has asked for, like, major refills.
Gosh, I got to get some more of this 420.
It's the first time Fesco's like, you hogging that over there? Pour me some more.
Well, usually Kling's chugging them and slamming them.
That's
not
true. That's not true.
If you can always see, they're always on his side of the
desk. I'm taking the tops off and.
I mean, I always give you guys three, and then I take the other three.
Yeah, for yourself.
Will you guys be having munchies in this next segment?
Probably.
Good question.
Yeah.
I was going to have those anyway. Thank you.
Yeah. Will you have the random test after the show? Not sure. We might have it as part of the 610 Sports Radio Combine, though. I don't know.
Oh, are we going to have to pee for that?
I don't know. We'll be out at Hy-Vee Arena this weekend.
The H.
And we're going to go through the 610 Combine. And then results will be released each day next week at 10:30 with Show and Vern. We will not know the results beforehand, but Monday we'll release the staff's vertical.
The three of us ain't winning that thing.
Tuesday, the long jump. Wednesday, the bench press. That's going to be awful.
I'm going to hurt my back doing that.
Thursday, the Wonderlic, which Ryan thinks he's going to win.
100%.
And then
I'm in on that. Ryan's very smart.
And then Friday, the 40-yard dash.
I might tell poop jokes all the time.
Which I think will be the most competitive.
Yeah. I'll win that one.
I think I got a shot at this one. I think I got a shot at the 40.
I don't know if you're going to win the 40, Bob. Like, you might have distance running down. I don't know if you have sprinting down.
Fair point. But I did sprint a 5K yesterday at the J.
I was going to say, if it was like 10K, 5K, no doubt.
Have you been working on your form?
Actually, I I have, yeah.
Oh, wow. I have too. I was in the backyard. I was like, I had to.
You guys have trained for this?
I mean, I was just working on my takeoff. I don't want to screw it up from the jump.
No. Oh, you mean the 40? No, I've been working on my form to running to try. Like, when you go up hills, they tell you you're supposed to use your arms more.
No,
so.
I'm talking about the get-off, man. You got to really work on that.
I get off just fine.
I'm most worried about the bench press. I didn't lift a weight when I was supposed to be lifting weights.
Right.
You know? I have no shot in the bench press. That's going to be just embarrassing.
Well, it's only 125 pounds.
That sounds like a lot.
It'll actually be more embarrassing than it turns out.
Yes, it will. That's not helping the cause.
I just want to give props out to the person who just texted in because they've been listening for the entire 4 hours because he says, Hy-Vee Arena does have bunting. And that is a great call back to where we started the show.
Nice.
So I appreciate you.
There's already bunting
that.
There?
Yeah, there's already bunting there.
So we'll be conducting the 610 Sports Combine over the weekend. And then results starting Monday at 10:30 with Show and Vern. It's for bragging rights for our entire staff.
That's right.
Trash talking is underway.
We got breaking news.
There's some breaking news involving the Olympics. There's a new event that's being proposed for the 2024 Olympics.
And Ryan got so excited. Breakdancing. Did you used to have the piece of car? I took breakdancing lessons when I was a kid.
I just can't wait to see, like, the Team USA Adidas jumpsuits. Like, that's really the track suits or what's going to really sell this for me. I cannot wait for that.
Could you breakdance as a kid?
No.
No?
No.
The way you reacted was like you used to do it.
No, I've always wanted to learn how to breakdance. Like, that's one thing I wish that I could do.
I took lessons when I was a kid. I think I took one lesson maybe. I can't remember the name of the dance studio, but I remember Jason Darrow's mom signed us up and we all went down and
took breakdancing lessons?
Yes. It was a big deal back then.
Yeah, that kid that could do the backspin was the star.
Oh, my God. Super Caucasian of you.
I could barely do the worm.
Barely? Not at all. I couldn't do it at all.
Yeah, not at all is right. Yeah. I can't do any of it. I think I lasted one lesson. How's that beer, Ryan?
One, it feels like it's
terrific.
One, it feels like this is way too late.
Well, yeah, this should have been done in the 80s.
Yeah, and two,
why?
Well,
it's just saying.
I mean, like, what are you judging on? I mean, there's a backspin of the worm and
form.
And like,
it's form. What? It's just like figure skating or the gymnastics events.
Luge.
Like, there's probably going to be certain moves that you have to do.
Feels like there's not enough nuance.
I can't wait for, like, the free dance.
I think there's a ton of nuance in breakdance.
It's going to be amazing. Pole dancing was the one that was discussed adding the last time around.
Right.
I don't think that got pushed through.
No, but breakdancing probably could. It's amazing.
3-on-3 basketball also in the mix.
Where have the Olympics gone, though? I mean, when you think about it, with the events that we're putting into the Olympics now and breakdancing being the next of the Olympic sports.
Just got to it.
The ancient Greeks are probably rolling over in the Colosseum.
Dude, they were wrestling naked, all right? Let's not get, like, real bent out of shape here, all right?
This isn't a real sport.
Two men just oiled up and rolling around naked in the dirt.
Everybody wanting to know where to get the Sweetwater beer on the Kansas side and all liquor stores.
I know
spots
for
in
a
Missouri.
Guy, I just texted my guy Trey. Brookside Wine and Spirits will have it late March.
Late March. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit later, coming a little bit later to the Missouri side.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but it's available now
the Kansas
on
side.
The Kansas side.
There you go.
Go get this G13, though. My goodness.
Good Lord.
Somehow they got
out
a bunch of beers with 420 and other references.
We'll spark you.
Through in Kansas. Still
roll out some of that G13.
Still amazing to me.
Yeah, this 420 Pale Ale says it's dry hop with a fat stash of Cascade hops.
And they got that through in Kansas.
Yeah. Before Missouri.
Hey, credit to you. Well done. I'm amazed by this. I don't know why.
Roll me over some of that
That's
beer,
right.
Josh.
Billy Hamilton will
pack
join
one for me.
Show and Vern coming up at 11. There you go. Show and Vern coming away next here on 610 Sports Radio.
We looking for marijuana.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.